You're listening to Your World Today. Now we cross over to Jerusalem and we have two rather interesting guests with us on the line. The first guest that we welcome to the program is Ariel Gold from Code Pink, who's an activist. Ariel, good day to you and welcome to the program.
Good day. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for joining us. We also have another Code Pink activist, Ariel Vergosen. Ariel, good day to you and welcome to the program.
Great to be on. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for joining us. We begin with you, Ariel Gold. You guys are American Jews supporting Palestine and the BDS movement in the occupied territories. What inspired you to take action?
So this is Ariel Vergosen, and I just wanted to share what inspired me to take action is my Jewish roots and studying the Torah, which teaches justice, justice you shall pursue. And I really believe that justice for Palestinians would be an end to the violence, an end to the occupation. And I believe that boycott, divestments, and sanctions is a nonviolent strategy to end the occupation and end the violence that we see around us. I also feel both a moral obligation as a Jewish person, and I feel like it is my responsibility to stand up against the occupation.
Really touching words. From your side, Ariel Gold, what's been your motivation?
Hi. So my motivation is also my Jewish identity and concern for the escalation in violence that we're seeing go on right now, with many lives being lost, both Palestinian and Israeli. And I know well that the root cause of the violence that we're seeing right now is the occupation. At the same time, while we're seeing this escalation in violence that is caused by the occupation, Netanyahu is in the U.S. requesting a 60% increase in military aid to Israel. Not only can the U.S. not afford this, but this furthers Israel's ability to continue this occupation that claims the lives of so many, and we have seen too many lives lost already, including way too many lives since the beginning of October.
Yes, way too many lives have been lost.
Yeah, I also wanted to share that we picked the location of the Kotel because for both myself and Ariel, that specific location is very holy to us, and we are both acting by doing nonviolence resistance, which is BDS, but we are also praying for the end of the occupation, and that's why we chose to be outside of the wall.
Yes, interestingly that you chose that and you've given us the background. Now, coming back to you then, Ariel Gold, with regards to the protests at the Wailing Wall, tell us about the experience.
Sure. So we first went to the wall, each of us, and we each prayed at the wall. The wall is, the other Ariel said here, very meaningful to each of us. And so we prayed at the wall. Myself, I prayed with my tears because this occupation, not only does it destroy Palestinian lives and livelihood, but it also destroys the heart and soul of Judaism and is incredibly destructive to the Jewish people. So it brings great, great sadness to me. So we each prayed, and then we each took out signs, one reading Boycott Israel, and the other reading Praying for an End to the Occupation. After that, we unfurled our banner, which read American Jews Support BDS, that's Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions. And we walked into the plaza and stood in the plaza. We stood for about 10 minutes. Certainly some people were looking at us, but nobody came over to us until about 10 minutes into the action, at which point a man who was quite aggravated started yelling at us a bit and trying to spit on us. We continued to stand there. We were singing at that time a melody.
It's called Peace, Salam, Shalom by Emma's Revolution, which is a peace band out of the United States. And so we were singing that song peacefully. And at that point, three other very large men, who I believe were security, came over to move us out of the way.
Yes. Now, Ariel Vagosen, tell us more about the response. Was that what you expected, you know, the type of response from the Israeli, you know, the Israeli settlers and as well as those in charge?
Well, something, the reason that we have this sign about being American Jews supporting BDS is that oftentimes people will say that BDS is anti-Semitic. But we really wanted to make clear the distinction that BDS is a nonviolent strategy and that this has been done before in South Africa. This was the strategy that they used to end apartheid. And at this point, Israel has become an apartheid state. There are separate roads for Palestinians, separate roads for Jewish people. And this is not what the tradition of the Jewish people states. This is not what Judaism is. Judaism is actually a nonviolent religion, and you can study it that way. What's happening here in Israel, I would say, goes against my religion and my faith. And I think it's important that people recognize that there is actually a big difference between Jewish people and Zionism. And so, you know, my expectation as to what would happen for us standing there, I really actually did not know, because I thought it would depend who was there. I was hopeful that maybe some people would be in support of what we were doing. And I was a little bit nervous that maybe some people would get violent with us, and I was just hoping that we would be able to stand there for as long as possible.
You also made a trip to RE/MAX, who are supporters of illegal settlements on Palestinian land. How did that protest go?
That actually went really great. We were able to get inside the RE/MAX office. We were able to ask them questions. We were able to showcase how they are continuing to build up the settlements. And we were able to get a banner up that talks about specifically boycotting right above their actual sign.
So I want to say that the reason we targeted RE/MAX, that we went to RE/MAX, is Code Pink is running a campaign, a corporate responsibility campaign, because RE/MAX sells homes in illegal settlements in the West Bank. And these settlements not only, and the homes, not only contribute to the occupation and further escalate the violence, but they're illegal under international law. And they are, this is an apartheid system, they are Jewish-only settlements, and so the homes are Jewish-only homes. It's a very racist a policy of apartheid, and RE/MAX is contributing to and complicit in that. And what we're asking RE/MAX to do is no longer to sell homes in these illegal settlements.
And I think it's important to understand that when we talk about this occupation, the reason the occupation continues is because it is so profitable. And I really think it's important to highlight what are the companies that are profiting from this occupation. So you have companies like RE/MAX, you have companies like HP, you have companies like Caterpillar that are all profiting off of this occupation. You have the military industrial complex. Right now, Netanyahu is in our country asking for a 60% increase in the amount of money that the U.S. Give to Israel in military aid, and that money could be staying inside of our country. We need, you know, money for education and healthcare right now in our country. It doesn't need to be going over here to Israel to continue this violence.
Have Palestinians appreciated your efforts?
Yes, definitely. We, you know, we have a lot of Palestinian friends, and we have a lot of Palestinian organizations that we work with, and we're supporting the Palestinian nonviolence resistance.
Our responsibility as Jews, because the State of Israel and Netanyahu specifically claim to speak in our name, is our responsibility to make clear that the policies of the State of Israel and Netanyahu are not in our name. They are not in the name of all Jews. And it's our responsibility as Americans, because America is funding this occupation. So it's our responsibility to work on our end in that way and to be in solidarity with the Palestinians who live under occupation.
What has been the reaction from Israeli soldiers when they find out that you are American and Jewish? What have they been saying to you?
I can't say we've really had any conversations with the soldiers. The security at the Western Wall took our banner and had us leave, but there wasn't a dialogue that took place.
And that said, though, Code Pink Women for Peace, we have actually brought a delegation of Israeli refuseniks, people that refuse to serve in the Israeli military. We brought a delegation of those people to the United States on a speaking tour. So we've had that kind of interaction with Israeli peace activists who are doing this, who have taken a stand. And those people who actually did not serve in the military had to serve jail time instead for 2 years. And so they came to we brought them to the U.S. to talk about their stories.
Finally, in conclusion, I'd like both your comments on it. How important is BDS in the fight against apartheid Israel? Some naysayers are disputing its effectiveness.
I think it's extremely effective. We see this is a nonviolent tactic. This is part of a nonviolent strategy. I think, of course, it's going to have to be more than just BDS to end the occupation, but I think this is a very strong strategy. We saw this work with the movement in South Africa to end apartheid. We saw this in the United States during the civil rights movement. People were boycotting buses. People were boycotting restaurants. That's part of how segregation ended. So this is a strategy that has been effective many times. This is part of nonviolence. And so I think it's going to be highly effective. I think it's a necessary part. And it's not like you're saying we're going to, it's something that you leverage. So the idea is when the occupation ends, then the boycott ends. That's how it works.
I want to say that the effectiveness of BDS is shown in a lot of recent evidence of it working. We've had a lot of wins in the BDS movement recently, from trade unions to numerous campus divestment resolutions that have been passed across the U.S. SodaStream, due to a gigantic drop in profits, is closing their plants in the West Bank. And these are only a few of the wins. We have the American Studies Association. BDS is picking up steam. And another way that we're able to see the effectiveness is in the response from the Israeli government, which lists BDS as one of the two largest threats to the state of Israel, along with Iran. So clearly, the Israeli government recognizes that BDS is effective. And this is the call that is given to us from Palestinian society, but it is absolutely working.
And I want to make something really clear about, it's interesting that Israel feels like this is a threat, because it doesn't need to be seen that way. What it is meant to be is a wake-up call to Israel that this is not okay, that their actions are unacceptable, and that they need to stop. It's how the international community is going to hold them accountable, and as soon as they end the occupation, BDS is going to end as well.
We really appreciate both of your times on the radio, and we admire your bravery in taking the stand that you have taken, and we pray for your fortitude and continue with the great word.
Thank you so much. It was great to be on.
Thank you very much.
Shukran, which is thank you in Arabic. It's been a pleasure to be on.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Let us Ariel Gold as well as Ariel Vagosen, both activists at Code Pink. And they are American Jews who went to the Wailing Wall and put up a flag, against the state of Israel. And they said that the important point that came through is that there's a difference between being Jewish and being Zionist. 24 minutes to 6 on your world today.